Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
That is exactly what I needed to hear.
Thank God someone here knows what they're talking about.
That's us. That's right. Gotta love this American ride.
All right, you need to take the time and get the full picture.
Come on, turn the radio on. It's Saturday and I won't be long.
Don't get me wrong. I love the ladies. I mean, they rev my engine, but they don't belong in the newsroom. It is Anchor Man, not Anchor Lady.
For goodness sake, kid, keep your voice down. Your father's listening to the radio.
I'm not America's sweetheart.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
Obviously and importantly, Omar has a history of launching vicious anti-Semitic screeds.
So that was the part of the rally last night. Certainly not the whole thing, but definitely one part that you were going to hear. And my prediction is until Election Day in November, the send her back chants from the Trump rally. And how many of you are okay with that? I'm not okay with it. I thought it was pretty awful. And I do think that we are getting to a place in this election political communication where we will constantly be one-upping whatever happens the day before. If you think that Donald Trump is a manifestation of himself, if you think that he is something that came out of nowhere, you would be grossly mistaken. Donald Trump has Republican ideals, and Donald Trump has Republican policies, but they're all packaged together in Donald Trump, the guy who has been a business mogul, playboy, real estate tycoon for decades before he went to become the president of the United States. And that is a whole package. You don't get to take and pick. It's not a buffet where you get to go through and take what you want from Donald Trump and leave what you don't want. It's the whole thing. Now, interestingly enough, among all of the other things that the president said about policy issues last night and also about people who he's challenging or who are challenging him in the political scene, this is a story that's going to come out about it. And I'm going to direct you now to listen to the president speaking at the White House just moments ago. I mean, like, this literally just happened. And to know, I haven't heard this because it just happened, to know that the president is coming from the White House today to comment specifically on the send her back chant that took place regarding Ilhan Omar yesterday. I think this is a very interesting moment. Let's listen in and see what he has to say.
Mr. President, if I may, when your supporters last night were chanting send her back, why didn't you stop them? Why didn't you ask them to stop saying that?
Well, number one, I think I did. I started speaking very quickly. It really was a loud, I disagree with it, by the way, but it was quite a chant. And I felt a little bit badly about it, but I will say this, I did, and I started speaking very quickly, but it started up rather fast, as you probably noticed.
So you'll tell your supporters never to
Well, I would say that. I was not happy with it. I disagree with it. But again, I didn't say that they did, but I disagree with
it. But they were echoing what you said in your first week, that they need to go back.
Well, I don't think if you examine it, I don't think you'll find that, but I disagree with it. Anybody else?
Why did you decline the NAACP's invitation to be part of the presidential forum?
Because we had a date set, and then they wanted to change the date, and they wanted to do it in the form of an interview. I had agreed to make a speech. I would have loved to have made a speech to the NAACP. We have, as you know, record unemployment numbers, the lowest in the history of our country. We have the poverty numbers. It's a poverty scale, and the African-Americans doing the best that they've ever done in the history of our country. We have something to be very proud of. I mean, really proud of. I was going over with Mike before some of the numbers having to do with the African-American community. It's the best numbers we've ever had. I very much wanted to go, but we had a date. The date got changed, and unfortunately, they wanted to do it in the form of a question and answer. I think you were going to be possibly the person asking the question. Yeah, I mean, so maybe you could answer the question better than me. Yes, go ahead, please.
President, when you appoint Senator Rand Paul as your emissary to Iran as a
party candidate? No, I don't know anything about that other than I have spoken to Senator Paul. And Senator Paul is somebody I have a very good relationship with. And I would listen to him, but I didn't appoint him, no. When did this come up?
Yesterday.
Yeah. No, he's somebody that I listen to. I respect Senator Paul. And if he had some ideas, I'd listen. I will say that Iran is a much different country right now. When I took over and Mike and I came into office, Iran was the scourge of the world. They were doing 14 different sites of confliction. They were fighting and causing problems in Yemen and Syria and Iraq and all over. It's a much different country right now. You look at what's happening, you look at them pulling back. And they're not pulling back because they love us. They're pulling back because they don't have money. They're being hurt very badly by sanctions. And I hope that doesn't happen for long because I hope they're able to straighten it out. It can happen very quickly. But if you look at the original President Obama deal, it was a disaster from many standpoints, but almost most importantly, because it was going to be ending very shortly. You know, it's a very short-term deal. You can't have a short-term deal for a country. You need a 100-year deal. You don't need a short-term. In a few years, literally in a few years, they would be on their way to a nuclear weapon. That's unacceptable. Plus, they can't do ballistic missiles, and the deal allows them to do ballistic missiles. And we have to look at other sites. The best, the most important sites, we were not allowed to go in and look at. What kind of a deal is that? And other things, and many other things. So Iran is not the same country. They have inflation now at 75%. They're having tremendous problems within the country. They're selling very little oil. We have an embargo. We have a stop on oil. Even the European countries are now agreeing with me. You see, they're coming over, and they're coming over very strong. It's very sad what happened to Iran. All we want to do is have a fair deal. The deal that was made was a bad deal. It was not approved by Congress. A lot of problems with the deal that was made. And we can do something quickly, or we can take our time. I'm in no rush. I'm in no rush.
Mr. President, are you concerned that your supporters chanting, you know, send her back, Representative Omar or the other representatives in
Well, I have tremendous support, and I wasn't happy with that message that they gave last night, but that was a packed arena. We could have sold an arena. We could have sold 10 of those arenas last night. There were tremendous numbers of people that couldn't get in. We had outside thousands and thousands of people, and we had thousands and thousands of people that wanted to come, and we said, please don't come. It held 10,000 people. It was packed. We could have sold that arena 10 times. There's tremendous support for the Republican Party. There's tremendous support for this team, for the president, for the vice president. We have tremendous support, maybe like nobody's seen in a long time. There's great energy. I say there's far more energy on the right than there is on the left. I mean, I hear about the left. All I see is the left is fighting all over the place. I think we have far more support than they do, and I think we have far more energy than they do. And we're going to have a very interesting election. But I was not happy when I heard that chant. Thank you, everybody. Thank you very much, everybody. You'd have to ask them. You'd have to ask them, John. What I would suggest as to, I was not happy with it, but what I would suggest, you go there, go to North Carolina, and you ask the people, why did they say that? But that's what they said. That's what they did.
You'll stop them if they try to do it again.
Well, I didn't like that they did it, and I started speaking very quickly. I could have stood back. Excuse me. Well, really? If you would have heard, there was a tremendous amount of noise and action and everything else. I started very quickly, and I think you know that. Well, I know. Maybe you're giving me too much credit. You're used to giving me too much credit. Thank you, everybody. Thank you. I would certainly try.
Thank you.
Certainly try. Johnny said, would certainly try. Thank you.
We're working on this, Ed. Thank you.
Don't forget, you know.
Come on.
President Obama added more debt than every president put together. So you're talking about a debt ceiling. President Obama added $10 trillion during his 8 years. He doubled the debt. He added more debt than every president, every single president put together. President Obama doubled the debt. So we're talking about a debt ceiling. The previous president doubled the debt. And that's what we get stuck with. That's the way it is, folks.
President Trump from the White House. That just happened right now, almost live, not quite live, but almost live. And really interesting to hear him come out and say that he didn't like it, that he didn't like the send her back chance that took place at the rally. This is, again, another moment where there is a story, there's something to cover, but that one thing rises to the top here and becomes the story of the evening. So last night's rally will be the send her back rally. That's what it'll be. And anytime you have a group of people who are looking to shape a narrative, and there are people making lots and lots of money on the second that that crowd starts chanting send her back last night, there are people with glee on their face because they think this might be the ticket to ride to finally stick it to President Trump. And I'm here to say, I don't think it's going to hurt President Trump in the long term. Because we are at a point now where, because everybody understands how manipulative the media is, politicians are, the people in the back rooms who are excited about the fact that this send her back chance starts. I mean, good grief. It's not outside of the realm of possibility. Of course, this just entered my mind. I'm not suggesting that this happened. But if there's somebody in that crowd who started that chant to see if they could get people to say it, because it's politically detrimental to the Trump administration, to the Trump campaign, I should say. Everything that takes place in a political campaign, I question. And if there were a scenario where that chant was started by somebody who was, maybe engaging in a little mischief, if you have 1,000 people join in, that's still a problem. So we have a rhetoric problem in our country, but it is not a one-sided problem. It's probably the most bipartisan problem that we have. And yet, as American people, we are still left with the choice between one side or the other, where the rhetoric is just as bad as the other side. When I'm planning on coming in and doing this show, and then we see that the president is speaking, that kind of pushes everything back. And it doesn't derail necessarily, because I love to have the president speaking right from the top of the show. That's always good. But I was going to talk to you about religion and government and the religion of government. And how this is something that the left pushes regularly, that the savior of a people is going to be government. That the way that life is going to be better, that the way that life is going to somehow or another be livable is through the God of government. That's what the left always sells. You know, if you elect the other guy, they're going to put you back in chains. Remember hearing that? From a presidential candidate that's running right now to challenge Donald Trump. They live and preach a message of fear on the left, and they say the person to protect you is the one that you will elect to an office. And when we subscribe to this sort of religiosity of government, we've missed the whole boat of what we are doing here in the United States. We are what is great about this country. It's not some godlike leader, and that has to go for both sides. Which is why when I see what this president is doing for the country, when I see what this president is doing in deregulating the massive amount of reach that this government currently has, and investing in an America First policy, an America First mindset, I'm happy about that, because when we take care of our own, we can take care of more people outside of the United States. But we cannot take care of everybody else if we don't take care of ourselves. But we have to be very, very sure and very, very certain that if you are on the right side of the aisle, that no politician becomes a deity for you in government either. I'm a Christian. I have a God. I have a Savior. They don't live in Washington, D.C. I'm going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll get to the highlights of the day. Cassie Smedley with the RNC, she's the Deputy Communications Director for the RNC, is going to join us at 12:40 to talk about that rally tonight. And I'm going to ask her, do you think anything that the president said last night is going to make any difference when the crowd was chanting, send her back? And what does she think about the president coming out and denouncing that chant? We'll have Tyrus at 110 as well, and I want to get in a lot of phone calls today. So stick around. Join us on the webcam at 971talk.com/Annie, or go to the FM News Talk 971 YouTube channel. Subscribe to it. You can watch the show live right there on the FM News Talk 971 YouTube channel and join the chat as well. You can do that on your mobile phone, your smart TV, your computer. All sorts of different ways. We'll be right back.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You're listening to the Annie Fry Show.
North Carolina and America need four more years of President Donald Trump in the White House.
Mike Pence from the rally last night, stumping for Donald Trump, obviously. You know, back in the days when we used to talk about why Donald Trump would be a better candidate than Bernie Sanders or Joe Biden or any of these other Kamala Harris, the alternative to Donald Trump. Can we get back to that? I mean, it would be really great if we could focus on what one side of the aisle was standing for instead of all of this rhetoric. It's very frustrating for this to constantly become the lead story, the lead discussion. I mean, here's a question for you. What's the most important issue facing the United States in 2020? What issue is your number one issue when it comes to deciding on a candidate? What is the most pressing problem facing the United States of America that you need leadership from a president to make sure that the next 4 years are decided in a way that is going to fortify the United States with continued success? None of what is being talked about right now counts as that. It's all distraction. It's like exactly why I wanted to get out of middle school as fast as I could. We as an American people are better than what is taking place right now on all sides, and we have created, in doing so, in paying attention to and in saturating ourselves in this constant back and forth bickering, we've pretty much got the heroes, I guess, that we deserve. And it's frustrating. It's sad. Because I think that we are, in general, as a collective, better than that. And that includes every person who's in this country, every political walk that's in this country. I think that we can do better. And I think that we do try to do better. I think we do a good job of that here on the Andy Fry Show. I get all sorts of different people calling in here. And that's a testament to you, a credit to you, that you're willing to call in and you're willing to have these discussions, whether you agree with me or you don't agree with me. But we have adult conversations about important issues facing our country. And I think that there are people in, you know, the really big media networks that could look and see how we're doing this here and understand that this is a successful and positive thing that we have going here. I'm so sick and disgusted with the whole thing. It makes me mad. Do highlights. You got any good news?
United States Representative Ilhan Omar proposed a resolution this week supporting the right to boycott Israel. Likening the boycott of the Jewish state to boycotts of Nazi Germany and the Soviet Union. Omar's resolution seeks to push back against U.S. laws banning the boycott of Israel and affirms the right of Americans to organize boycotts of foreign countries if they so wish. While the resolution doesn't explicitly name Israel or the pro-Palestine boycott, devisement, and sanctions movement, she told media outlets that the resolution concerns the Jewish state. She said, the resolution affirms the right to boycott as an expression of free speech and cites examples of boycott movements against Nazi Germany, the Soviet Union, and the apartheid in South Africa. I think all things that are so much like Israel. The Republicans have spoke out against this. Representative Lee Zeldin said that Israel is our best ally in the Mideast, a beacon of hope, freedom, and liberty surrounded by existential threats. Good night. Shame on Representative Omar for bringing her hateful twist on that reality to the House Foreign Today, propping up the BDS movement and blaming Israel for all of its challenges.
Shame on them for putting a word in there you couldn't say.
Right.
Right? The beer makers down on Pestalozzi are having some fun with the folks who want to see what's really inside Area 51. Bud Light took to social media, posting on Twitter, "We'd like to be the first brand to formally announce that we will not be sponsoring the Area 51 raid." They quickly backtracked on Twitter, saying, "Screw it! Free Bud Light to any alien that makes it out." The brewer has made a label for the Area 51 Special Edition Bud Light, and here it is. People want to look at it here in the room. It's got a little alien on it. It's black. It's green. It's that alien color green that we all like.
Amazing.
And the label.
Is that what color alien? Like, how do we know they're not pink and purple?
I think they're green. And the label actually says, "Greetings, Earthlings. This is the famous Area 51. It says at the top of the can, "We know of no space beer by any other life form which is brewed and aged to be more refreshing. Our cryogenic aging produces a light-bodied space lager with a fresh taste, a crisp, clean finish, and a smooth drinkability. Take us to your leader."
Oh, my gosh.
For drinks.
Liter?
I love it.
Leader.
Liter?
No, leader. Like your leader.
Leader.
Take us to your leader. For drinks. Bud Light is looking for 51,000 retweets to make the can a reality.
Mm. This is cool. 51,000 retweets?
Area 51? 51?
This is awesome.
Yeah, I get it. I'm happens. Just going on Twitter so I can retweet it.
I know. I hope this happens.
Follow my feed. I have it.
Bud Light.
Nice. I'm going to do that, Frank.
Bud Light.
Prosecutors in Nantucket on Wednesday dropped a felony sexual assault charge against the actor Kevin Spacey.
Not just me.
Yep, it's everybody. Here we go. After watching their case against the actor slowly fall apart under scrutiny.
Leader.
Leader. Spacey's defense team during months of contentious pre-trial hearings that unfolded in the result of a courtroom. What does it say? Now I can't read because now I'm so focused on messing up. The decision to drop the charges followed a July 8th hearing in which the alleged victim exercised his Fifth Amendment right against self-incrimination during a hearing in which he was testifying about his missing cell phone. Blah, 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 blah.
Sports.
Did he throw the phone away?
Existential.
Leader.
Pleaded the fifth.
The Cardinals held on for a 6-5 win yesterday afternoon against the Pirates, taking 2 of 3 from Pittsburgh at Busch Stadium. Tyler O'Neill kept up his hot hitting. He was 2 for 4 with a pair of RBIs. He hit his 4th home run in 5 days. Paul Goldschmidt, he had the go-ahead home run, his 18th of the year. And that win keeps the Birds within striking distance of the first place in the NL Central Cubs. They're just 3 games back. They start a 4-game series with the Reds this evening. Baseball is mourning the passing of former Cardinal and Cub pitcher Ernie Broglio. He died of cancer complications Tuesday night. He was 83. Broglio was a Redbird from 1959 to 1964 and was famously traded in June of 64 for Lou Brock.
Forever an answer to a trivia question.
Mm-hmm. All right.
He was a good pitcher. I mean, you know,
he won 21
people,
games one
absolutely,
year, I think.
People say, oh, Ernie Broglio, he wasn't anything. No, he was a very good pitcher.
He wasn't Lou Brock.
He wasn't Lou Brock. Well, but Lou Brock at that point wasn't Lou Brock.
Good point.
What do you guys know about this draw happening on CNN tonight? Anything? For each draw, a name card will be picked from the first box, then matched with date card. Is it like memory that I used to play? Drawing for debate lineups tonight. That's taking place.
And that's television?
It's a big
deal.
Absolutely
it is. Oh, it's fun. It's exciting.
I guess they're trying
it's
to
like
prove.
Like watching the lottery.
I guess they're trying to prove that it's truly a random draw because last time it didn't seem like it was.
Let's take a break. I'm mad at everything right now. I'm just mad. I'm frustrated. It's hard to do this job when you don't feel like you have anything positive to say. Should I say a bunch of negative things or should I? I watched Infinity War last night. That was real positive. Gosh, dang it, people. Maybe that's why I'm mad.
Was it bad?
Infinity War?
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't like a walk in the park. You've seen it.
No.
Why?
I haven't seen hardly any of those movies.
You have a responsibility.
I do?
Mm. You do so that we can talk about it. Now, I mean, even I have now watched Infinity War.
It's so good.
Mostly, I feel like if I have seen a movie...
Wait a minute. Is it good or is it bad?
I think it was great.
Yeah. It wasn't bad. It wasn't a bad movie.
Just didn't end the way.
Well, I mean, it's not an upper. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I just think if I have seen these movies that everybody else already saw them 5 years ago.
Yeah, so you can talk about it.
Let's ruin it for Tony.
You can talk about it.
No. I don't need it. I mean.
You're not going to ruin it for me.
No. Let's ruin it.
You know the stories, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And are they that different from the comic books?
Essentially not that different.
Some of the people are different.
Some of the characters are different, but the story is essentially the same.
Mm. Well, Cassie Smedley is going to join us when we come back. I can also get some phone calls in here, too, if you want to squeeze in before or after we get that interview done. 314-241-9797. Cassie Smedley with the RNC is...
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Going to join us next and hopefully put me in a better mood. Back in a minute.
You're listening to The Annie Fry Show.
And I want to thank Mexico. They've got 21,000 soldiers now stopping people from coming into our country.
President Trump at the rally last night in North Carolina. That's a good story, right? The president works with Mexico and manages to get some assistance from Mexico to control our immigration issues that we have on our southern border. That's a good story. That's the story I wish we were talking about today. But instead, we are discussing the send her back chant that took place at the rally last night. We've heard from the president. The president says he didn't like that chant. He did not approve of that chant. And we're going to speak now with Cassie Smedley, the Deputy Communications Director for the RNC. Cassie, great to have you back on the show.
Hey, Annie. Always great to be with you.
Thank you. So, I feel as though we are just constantly going through one distraction and then another that takes the government and political conversation away from policies and issues, and all of this ancillary stuff is clouding over it. And that's the case again today with that send her back chant out of North Carolina. What's your reaction to hearing that and then also the president's words earlier this hour?
Well, that's right. I mean, when you have mainstream media that spends 93% of their time on negative coverage of the president, they glom on to absolutely anything they can. But what this has also spawned is this larger conversation about the frustration from people that come, where you and I come from. You know, I'm a proud Missourian.
Yeah.
Who say it's frustrating that you have these four members of Congress who consistently take the oxygen out of the room, most often talking about how they don't like our country. They are disparaging or condescending towards hardworking men and women, most notably our police and Border Patrol agents. And they're saying, you know, I'm tired of it. I'm tired that every time I turn on the TV, that's what I hear. And it's so woefully out of step and out of touch with what I'm feeling that's going on right now in my own community or even at my own kitchen table. And so there is a frustration that that's not covered on an equal footing, that these women, every time they speak out and speak against our country, they seem to get another magazine cover. But every time the president says, I'm putting America first, I'm putting Americans first, he gets, you know, a day's worth of coverage that trying to call him something that he most certainly is not. So I think that's frustrating equally so. And then, of course, to your point about the issues that matter, Congress spent their week, they only have a few days left before they're gone for a month, and they spent their week on a baseless impeachment vote when they still have USMCA to take up. They haven't done anything about the budget, so they're going to need to lift the debt ceiling. They haven't done that. Certainly haven't done anything meaningful on health care reform or on immigration reform. So it is very frustrating to constantly see these four women take the conversation away from the priorities of everyday Americans.
Cassie, what do you say to the many people who I've talked to on this show specifically who love this president, support this president, but don't like the tweets he sent this past weekend and don't like the fact that the send her back chant is part of a Trump rally? How do we get through the next 15, 16 months, however many months it is before this election, without this devolving into something that nobody wants to be a part of?
Right. Well, all politics are local. I mean, you turn on cable TV and they're going to have one conversation. But, you know, I've talked about this a lot with our ground game. You know, here at the RNC, and we work with the president's campaign and all Republican campaigns, we're training tens of thousands of people that are your neighbors. And when you go out and you have a conversation, a much more natural conversation, by the way, it's far more often to talk with your neighbor about something going on in your own town or your community. And when you say, yeah, hey, we're sending the kids to camp this summer. We haven't done that in the last couple of years, but we're glad to have a little extra money in our pocket to be able to do it. That's where we're having that conversation, training our volunteers to then take the next step and say, you know, that's President Trump. And we got to keep this going. I can't believe that we've got Democrats who are standing on a stage saying that we want to use taxpayer dollars to give health care to illegal immigrants instead of figuring out how to help us keep more of our money. Those are the conversations that can happen in a more local and personal way and are happening. And we know that what drives people to the ballot box, the economy at your kitchen table, the economy in your community, the economy in our country. And so long as those things are going well, we got to keep having that conversation as to why that's happening. And that's a direct result of the work of this president. Stop paying attention to the rhetoric on TV and start paying attention to the results in your life. And it's a pretty clear choice of who's fighting for you.
I could see how that would be beneficial if the narrative were to be able to be changed to the things that really do matter. And I couldn't agree with you more. Like, when you look at, you know, is this a better country that you're living in right now compared to when President Trump was not the president? I think many people have lots of reasons to say yes. You know, maybe I sold my house from the housing market is on fire. Maybe I got a raise at my job for the first time in forever. Maybe I got a job that I really want because now I'm, as an employee, I'm a commodity that is needed to be competed for by businesses. They need good employees and they are competing for those employees. That's all fine and good, but this mainstream media is a very, very powerful entity. And the president's, I feel as though the tweets from this weekend combined with that unfortunate moment at that rally last night, I just don't know how the president is going to speak to those people who are in the middle, who don't like the Bernie Sanders socialism, Elizabeth Warren, let's pay off everybody's college debts. How do those middle-of-the-road moderates who definitely don't want socialism, but they don't even want to turn on their television to see the next send her back moment?
Well, that's the thing. People just aren't turning on the television. So it really is about what's happening in your life and making sure that we're having those conversations, like I said. But here is the difference, is that the media, this feels like 2016 all over again. They're breathlessly going to spend their time speaking negative things about Donald Trump and anybody who supports him. And they're never going to cover the realities of what the Democrats are proposing. It's like a infomercial for them every single time their names are mentioned. And that's so frustrating to people. We know that. And so that's why, I mean, we just announced another record-breaking fundraising week, this fundraising month, this week. And so combined with the campaign, over $108 million raised. And the story that's not being told is that during the week of the president announcing his reelection campaign in Orlando earlier this month, we had over 100,000 new small-dollar donors, people we had never seen or heard from before, who were coming from states that Democrats would have you believe are firmly in blue territory. And they're saying, no, I'm changing because somebody's still talking to me. Somebody's still fighting for me. He's the only person doing it. The reality is so out of step with what you see on the TV. And we do have a big job as Republicans to make sure that we are having those authentic conversations, because nobody else is going to do it for us. You're not going to get the support from TV, pop culture, mainstream media, you name it. But we have to, because the alternative, and that's the focus here, is to go backwards. The alternative is to, Democrats want to take more of your money, to create more government programs, to have more control of your life. That was an outlier position in 2016 with Bernie Sanders. That is absolutely the mainstream position of the Democrat Party today. And as we get closer to this election, the focus will have to turn to these candidates. It can't be about the squad. I don't even think Democrats want it to be about them. And that's where you're really going to see the results of this president on full display and in the positive spotlight. There's no, you can't hit back against the facts of this administration. And the facts are things are going really well for Americans because this president has empowered Americans to do what's best for them in their lives.
Yeah, I really hope that we can get the focus back on the issues. Do you know of anything that is on the horizon? I said to my producer before we started the show, I said, now would be a great time to get a deal done with China or to have another really positive conversation with North Korea to move us towards denuclearization, because this is just simmering right now. And I think it's bringing out the worst in both parties.
Yeah, I would definitely agree with you. And it's frustrating because they're never held to account on the left. Like I said,
yeah,
they just seem to get more magazine covers every time they denounce America. And so it's hard. So then you don't want to, the president is not a puncher. He's a counterpuncher.
Yeah.
And so I think people like that fighting spirit about him. But yes, let's get back to what has been making our country great. And I have no doubt the president will do that. He seems to be very good at that. But I think you're right that there is more of an interest than perhaps ever. But I will also say that in 2016, it seemed like every single day the media was crafting some new narrative about Donald Trump. But Donald Trump had already crafted the narrative on himself. We knew that. We know him. And in 2016, it was, we're voting for him on these promises, and now you can vote on results.
Yeah.
And that's really what it's going to come down to. Are you better off now than you were 4 years ago? And do you think you can do even more if we keep him in the White House? And it's hard for folks, even folks who say, I don't love every single tweet. And I've even heard the president say this, that people, this is actually not too long ago, I heard him say to a pretty small crowd of folks, I hear from people all the time who say, I didn't love you. I don't love every tweet, but man, I love what you're doing for my family and me. And that's the point. And we can't allow the every Democrat paid talking head on TV to distract from that, because it's really dangerous for our country if they're allowed to win, because what they're talking about would take us so radically away from everything that has made our country good and great.
Cassie Smedley, the Deputy Communications Director for the RNC, thanks so much for your time today. We appreciate having you.
Thank you, Annie. Have a great week.
You too. We'll be right back.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records. This is a national contest.